I'm Beth Hover, a member of the board for Our Community Cares volunteer organization, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stella Yoon of Hillsdale, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Kayla Harris reports in the Times Union that Governor Andrew Cuomo talked about tax cuts for small businesses and the middle class, social justice initiatives, legalizing recreational marijuana, improving health care, and expanding education programs during his State of the State speech in Albany January 8th. While Republicans wanted to discuss the state's $6.1 billion budget deficit and whether only rich people should be released from jail pending trials. Quote, New York at her best is the progressive capital of the nation, and we must fulfill that destiny again this year, unquote, Cuomo said. Quote, we understand the current dynamics of this nation's downward spiral. If there is no progress, there is no hope. And if there is no hope, the vacuum that is left is easily filled by the void of anger and division, unquote. Cuomo fired off proposal after proposal during the speech. He wants state legislators to reveal their tax returns. He wants guaranteed paid sick leave for almost all workers and a $3 billion environmental bond act to tackle climate change. Democrats control both the Senate and Assembly again this year. But after last year's session with Democrats holding the majority, he vetoed more bills than he did when Republicans ran the state Senate. Cuomo was vague about where the money would come for his proposals and the deficit. He suggested that the state might look at education spending and its Medicaid model to make up some of the difference. Cuomo did not mention once the bail reforms passed last year that he approved. Read more about this story in the Albany Times Union.
Sarah Captain is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Cairo legislator William Lawrence has resigned as chair of the Greene County Legislature Public Safety Committee after 12 years of service. The committee maintains oversight over the Sheriff's Office, probation, public defender, and emergency services. The committee, under Lawrence's direction, spearheaded the effort to build a new county jail, which is now under construction in Coxsackie. He said, and I quote, I think there's a need for a fresh set of eyes. I'm burned out by the jail situation, and it took a large toll on my time and concentration, end quote. With the project progressing on schedule, Lawrence said he believed the timing was right for someone else to take over. Legislature Chairman Patrick Linger, the Republican representative of New Baltimore, announced Lawrence's decision at the legislature's reorganizational meeting January 7th. Republican legislator Thomas Hobart of Coxsackie has been named to succeed Lawrence as committee chairman. Hobart is a correctional officer by profession. Linger said the jail project has consumed a lot of the committee's time over the last several years, and he now expects its agenda to now be focused on issues related to bail reform. Lawrence was first elected to the legislature in 1980. He took a brief hiatus to serve as Cairo Town Supervisor from 1986 to 1988, returning to the legislature in 1993. Lawrence will remain a Cairo representative and the legislature's majority leader. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Sarah Trafton at Columbia Green Media reports that an investigation of misconduct by state police based in Catskill that went active at least three times is now closed again. State Police Director of Public Information Bo Duffy said the Internal Affairs Division did not find proof of theft of evidence that allegedly occurred in 2010. Trafton does not explain anything about the alleged misconduct except it involved theft of evidence. The investigation was mentioned in the campaign for Greene County Sheriff last fall between Republicans Peter Kosminski and Diana Benoit. Quote, "I absolutely believe the informant and believe he was telling the truth 100%, unquote, Benoit, who lost the election, said in an email statement. Quote, "I think anytime you have someone questioning the integrity of an evidence locker, the police and the district attorney get nervous. It is because they know if they find that there was a problem, many, many cases can be appealed," unquote. Kosminski, who won the election, did not start at the Catskill Barracks until 2013, but claimed the alleged incident that happened in 2010 was somehow related to his 2019 political campaign. Quote, "It is sad, though, that the hardworking, dedicated men and women serving in the state police were made pawns in a political campaign," unquote, he said of the issue that was being investigated long before he announced his candidacy. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Michael Williams is reporting for the Times Union. CBS 6 television reporter Greg Floyd has claimed he was repeatedly assaulted by an unidentified member of State Assembly Speaker Carl E. Hestey's staff at the Capitol Tuesday, January 7th. Hess office has denied the allegation. Floyd tweeted Tuesday, and I quote, "A first for me covering the assembly at the state capitol. I was repeatedly assaulted by this man as I tried to interview Speaker Carl Hestey," end quote. A photo attached to the tweet shows an unidentified man holding Hestey's arm with his right hand with a CBS 6 microphone in the frame. Nothing in the picture indicates the man touched Floyd. Hestey spokesman Michael Weiland described Floyd's description as, and I quote, "absurd," end quote, and I quote, "ridiculous," end quote. He denied Floyd was assaulted and accused the WRGB reporter of, and I quote, "over-exaggerating," end quote. WRGB news director did not immediately respond to a request for comment. And you can read the full story in the Times.
Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that on January 7th, Ulster County Representative David Donaldson said he had no interest in becoming chairperson of the legislature. On January 8th, he was elected to the position. Donaldson was chair from 2006 to 2009, serving 13 terms in all. Tracy Bartles was the other leading candidate, but when she did not get enough support, Donaldson was tapped, a day after he saying he was, quote, "happy serving as vice chairman under Bartles," unquote. Donaldson is a Democrat, while Bartles is a non-enrolled voter who aligns with Democrats. Quote, "It's not something I wanted to do, I'll tell you that," unquote, Donaldson said after the vote. But Laura Petit, an Independence Party member who caucuses with the Democrats, would not support Bartles, so Democrats turned to Donaldson. Majority Leader Jonathan Hepper said, quote, "Monday evening I was informed by Laura Petit that she wanted the opportunity to be chair and had worked with the Republican caucus to secure the votes necessary to be chairman. Obviously that was a surprise," unquote. Republicans ultimately backed Heidi Haynes, an Independence Party member who caucuses with the GOP members. Donaldson beat Haynes 13-10 to lead the legislature this year. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Nick Reisman is reporting for the State of Politics blog. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, January 7th, released a plan intended to improve relations between local police agencies and the communities they serve. Under the proposal, the Attorney General's office would be charged with improving police-community relations and providing the support needed to make it happen. Cuomo said, and I quote, "Attorney General James is a superb leader, and as the state's chief law enforcement officer and a former public advocate, she is uniquely suited to help bridge that divide by providing community members and police with an opportunity to form a stronger relationship based in respect and trust," end quote. Read the full story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, sunny with a high near 29 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low of around 24. And on Friday, a chance of sleet before 10 a.m., then a chance of rain. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 44 degrees. And Friday night, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low of around 40 degrees. And that's your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties. Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Friday, January 10th, Weeping Bong Band, who record for Feeding Tube Records, and Mike Donovan, who records with Drag City in Chicago, and Johnny Young, perform at the Half Moon in Hudson at 8 p.m. DJ Legend, resident DJ of Doubles 2, performs at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill at 11 p.m. with live web stream on WGXC.org. David Muska of Ondatra Adventures will teach the fundamentals of tracking and help you develop your skills through techniques such as clear print identification and track patterns, the Edmund Noyle Hoyt Preserve at 10 a.m. Always in Season takes an unflinching look at the multi-generational impact of lynching, connecting the racial violence that persists today to historical lynching terrorism. Potluck dinner at 6, film at 7, at the Old Chatham Quaker Meeting House in Old Chatham, New York. The Spotty Dog Books and Ale Volume Reading Series presents Lynn Sachs, Amy Rigby, Hallie Goodman, and Lee Ann Brown with an unnamed DJ performing at 7 p.m. Fantastic Fungi, the Mushroom Movie, is shown at the TSL Barn in Hudson at 7:30 p.m. Greene County-based cover band Guilty Pleasure performs at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with live web stream at wavefarm.org/listen starting at 8 p.m. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting WGXC.org/calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Andrew Barwick of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support. Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student from Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena, and I am a student of MC Smith. I am also a student... Wait, not student. I am also from Hudson.
True story. You're a student of Hudson.
Yes, I am. A
you learn so much.
Yes.
In life. Yeah. Just walking down the street.
I learn so much that I just forget how to speak.
It's true. It is hard sometimes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Even though you know English very well.
Thank you. Yes. Well, we're about a weekend, but we want to wish everybody a happy new year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. Welcome happy to 2020.
Happy New Year.
And also, happy Three Kings Day if this were being published on the 6th.
Yeah, we're recording on the 6th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Three Kings Day. Can you tell us what Three Kings Day is?
The story behind it is when Jesus was a baby, he was visited by three kings, and they all came on camels, I'm pretty sure, and... they each gave Jesus a present, or they each gave Jesus, like, three presents? I can't remember. So that's how Three Kings Day is, but on Three Kings Day, basically you wake up, under your Christmas tree is, like, gifts. And lucky for us, we, like, almost never take down our Christmas tree. On, like, February, we, like, down our Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. But like the point of it is that they give you presents like when you're little, three or more. Only three. I don't know when they just narrow down your gifts, but they give you gifts on the 6th basically.
Cool.
And is it so we all know that Santa comes for Christmas and gives gifts.
Yeah.
Do the three kings come for Three Kings Day, or is it just like in honor of their gifts?
They like come and leave gifts under your tree.
Do they come all at once? Like you get three gifts on Three Kings Day?
Well, yeah.
They don't all like join together and buy one gift?
Well, like maybe.
Who knows what they're up to this year?
Yeah, I don't know because like it could just be them being like, okay, let's get this, and then we'll have to all do it, so we'll all have to like make our own separate gifts. But I'm really wondering what my dad got. It's a very small box.
You'll have to report back.
Yeah.
So I just spent the holidays in Spain.
Ooh.
Where they celebrate Three Kings Day.
Cool.
And there was like one of the plazas near where we were staying had three kings, like little kind of things, like temporary statues. But one of my cousins lives in Spain, and so her family celebrates Three Kings Day, and my sister and her family are still there. They haven't gone home yet, and so they are celebrating Three Kings Day today too for the first time.
Speaking of
happy
gifts,
Three Kings Day to them.
Yeah I got a really cool book that I could talk about on the radio.
Was this a Christmas present?
Yes. It was not one of the things I asked for, and I don't say that because it's not good. I say that because my dad actually found it and just decided to get it for me, and I'm very happy that he did.
It's cool when that works out that way.
It's very cool. I'm kind of into Pokemon. I don't think I've ever talked about it before on the
it's confession time
radio, but I had like little books about them. I had little books about all the Pokemon, like little mini things. I had the walkthrough books for the games I had on my DSi, I had all that stuff. I was kind of obsessed with it for a bit, and my dad got me this book called Poke Anatomy, An Unofficial Guide by Christopher Stoll, who is an artist on Instagram, and I think 500 copies were made. My dad said it was, like, probably a rare thing, kind of. And basically inside is all illustrations about, like, the internal physiology of Pokemon. Like, there's cross-sections and stuff.
The inner workings.
Yeah, it's actually really, really cool. So it's just the first generation of Pokemon, so it's the first games, like... I don't remember what the first games were. I think I got the second game, but I don't remember what the first games were, but it was basically that first generation. You know, if you watch the TV show, it's the first generation of the TV show. Basically, the first season. And it has all those first-generation Pokemon in it. This is basically back when, like, the Pokemon, there was only, like, 100 and so of them. Now there's, like, 800. Not all 800 aren't in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just those 100 and so in the first generation. And I'm just really taken away by the illustrations. Like, they're really detailed and look like the kind of thing you'd see in an actual, like, field guide about animals. This guy basically wrote a field guide about fictional animals, and because he had pretty much all the freedom to do whatever because they're fictional, you see things like Pikachu that can, like, generate electricity, him, like, writing about the electrodes in its body, and it's just, it's really fun to see how this guy got creative and, like, research how, like, if they were real, how they might have these abilities in real life. So it was just really cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Pokemon?
In this book, it's Eevee. In the overall Pokemon universe, it's Wooloo. I love Wooloo.
Did you learn anything interesting in the book about your favorite character that's in the book?
Eevee, I haven't read Eevee's entry yet. I need to find it. At the point of this book, the generation it was published, there's only 3 evolutions in there for Eevee. But it's pretty cool.
How do you feel about Pokemon, Lena?
I feel like it's great. Yeah.
Not the biggest fan, but not a hater.
Yeah, because, like, I remember in my childhood, I only watched up until, like, episode 10 or 11, and then I just went to Pokemon XY. Now I'm like, I totally get this.
I was part of the generation that was, like, Pokemon Black and White. See, now I hear about XY and Sun and Moon and Sword and Shield, and I'm just like, what's happening? Why are there so many? There's so many. But I played, like, Heart Gold and Soul Silver and Black and White. And those were the ones I played. And then I was like, cool, that's good enough for 5 years.
My Pokemon knowledge was a bit rusty. But back when I was in college in the, like, early 2000s, I babysat for a kid who was, like, super into Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot at that time. I could probably name most of them at that point.
I used to be able to name all of them before all the new generations came out. And I miss that ability. I saw Detective Pikachu, and I have it on DVD now, and me and my friend went into that movie thoroughly prepared to make fun of it the entire time. We thought it was going to be dumb, but then, like, all the Pokemon started showing up, and we both, like, started, like, fangirling, like, this Pokemon love that was, like, dormant inside us for so long just came back, and we're like, oh my god, look at them all, they're so cute! We were obsessed.
That looks like a fun book to read.
Yeah.
Good, job, Izzy.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay, wait. Quick question. Emily, what is one of your favorite Pokemons?
I don't remember them. The only ones that I remember are, like, Pikachu and Charizard. Those are the only ones I remember. I could look at pictures of them and be like, cute, cute, cute. Like that one. Neat. Yay.
Yeah.
But I don't know their names off the top of my head.
Yeah, Wooloo's one of the newer ones. It's literally just a sheep, but I love it.
Sounds nice.
So cute.
Yeah.
I remember when Pokemon Go came out and was, like, huge.
Mm-hmm. I still have it on my phone. I haven't used it in, like, a year.
So they tried to put the gyms at sort of cultural institutions.
Oh, yeah.
So
that was a bit of a controversy. Yeah.
Well, libraries were prioritized as one of the locations, but it was right when we were moving to our new building, and so they put the gym at the old library.
Oh, no.
And we kept trying to get them to change it, and they ignored us.
I know
they're probably getting too many help requests for things that actually mattered, from players.
I know there's a gym in the post office, by the post office. Wait. I know that.
Oh, yeah, right by where we are.
Yeah, actually, it is right across the street.
I don't go to gyms because I don't have, like, data that's like forever, where you can always have internet no matter mm-hmm. where you go. But I have to actually connect to their internet.
Yeah, Pokemon
it's such
was
a hassle.
That was a data killer. Like, my cellular data ran out yeah. real fast when I was playing Pokemon Go.
Oh.
It was like a battery killer, too.
Oh.
That's why libraries are good locations for gyms, because you can connect to the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good and also, I love going there because whenever I go there, I always charge my wireless headphones the day before I go into the library. And then I just go in there and watch, like, half an hour It's Fun or something like that.
Fun times.
Yeah. And one of the other books I got, not technically kind of for Christmas. I mean, I used a gift card I got for Christmas to get it at Barnes & Noble. I think it counts.
Mm-hmm.
I got the three newest Black Butler mangas, which is wild, and I literally cannot talk about them without spoiling the entire series, since it's like the 20-somethingth books. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say I got those, and they are very good.
Awesome.
And I got Happy Sugar Life, the manga, which is an anime I talked about, I think, real briefly, either on or off the radio after we finished recording a couple weeks ago, which is a illustrated... Look, so it's really subversive, and I love things that subvert expectations, which is why I wanted to get into this manga. It is basically, the cover is very pastel pink, very sugary and happy and very, very girly. Typically, it's looking at it, someone who didn't know the story could easily mistake it for something like Sailor Moon and buy it for a child, which is unfortunate. But,
No children allowed?
It's actually a horror manga, so some of the stuff in it involves kidnapping, gaslighting. It's very, very dark, but I think if, like, you were mature enough, someone, like, around 15 could probably read it, maybe even younger, it depends. It's just, if you acknowledge, like, the subversive stuff in it, it's very interesting to read, because you pick this up thinking it's going to be very cute and sweet. Even the title is called Happy Sugar Life, and I wish I had remembered to bring it with me so that I could say who the author is. And then it turns out to be this very dark, almost thriller, horror kind of story. And I believe there are two other issues of it out currently, and I only got the first one so far.
Awesome. I see that Lena has some graphic novels, comics with her. Mm-hmm.
It's not a graphic novel
or a comic. One of the ones you had with you is.
Yeah. It's Guts that you're going to tell them about.
But that is a graphic novel.
Yeah. No, it isn't. It's a manga.
No, the other Guts is.
Manga.
Manga
is basically
and
a graphic
comics.
Novel from Japan. It's, so I think it counts.
Yeah. And also, it's like basically just other side. You flip it over, then you read it backward.
It's one of those dual books where you flip it over and read it backwards. There's a second story, and they end halfway in between.
Oh, that's interesting.
I never liked books like that. They always annoyed me. I hated having to flip over and read it backwards.
It takes so much energy to flip it over. No, just kidding.
It was just the... Don't make fun of me.
It's so exhausting.
It was just the idea that people would be looking at me and thinking I'm reading a book backwards that made me not like to read them.
Maybe
like,
they think you have a lot of skills. They're like, whoa, she can read backwards, forwards,
read backwards.
Upside down, all sorts of ways.
Once I was reading a book and I'm like, why does this look weird? And I turned to the next page and then I realized, wait, I'm reading this upside down.
I've read some manga before where they had translated it to be read front to back, and so they put, like, at the back of the book they put a notice being like, this has been translated.
They have those notices.
Don't start in the end.
They have those notices where it's like, you can read this the correct way.
Mine's at the back, says, much appreciated, thank you for getting this analogy, have fun. And then Torchwick, the bad guy, is like, this is the last page.
Aww.
Ruby reads right to left.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I have,
So this is Ruby, which I think you've talked about briefly on the show, but for our listeners, it's spelled R-W-B-Y.
Yeah. Yes. And it's a manga. And it says official manga anthology, I think it is, but like...
Anthology.
Yeah, anthology, but like my brother says he doesn't like the series because, like, I'm pretty sure he doesn't like this one because it's like fan-made. And also, maybe it's because of, like, all the fan art that's in here.
I think it's cool that they include fan art in there. It's, like, really interactive, almost. I like it when shows and media do that.
Yeah.
Well, I think especially with
it's
manga.
It's kind of like...
Oh, sorry.
It's kind of like the book I have here. This book is fan-made. Like, it's not published by Nintendo or... I don't know who owns Pokemon. Someone probably in the world does. It's not published by, like, those official people.
Yeah.
I think because manga has such a... There's such a, like, style of manga art. I mean, obviously, there's some diversity, but there's some similarities across different manga. And I feel like a lot of fans of manga like to draw and like to try to draw in that style.
Yeah.
So I think it's nice that they include fan art in it, too.
Real hard to draw in, like, a manga-ish style, which is, like, you know, the big eyes. I don't know.
There's something about the face shapes.
It's something about the face shape. And I hated it. I hated drawing in that style. I realized after a while that, like, man, I can't do this, and I don't like this. And so I kind of, like, developed my own art style-ish. Yeah, kind of.
Sure.
I still resort back to drawing dragons sometimes.
I cannot.
Which is the one thing I've drawn since I think pre-K was dragons, and so I have mastered the art of drawing dragons. I learned how to draw humans after learning how to draw dragons.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I was, it was one of my special interests. I love dragons, and I still do. And so that was my obsession, and to now even obsession. I'm redrawing a comic I wrote in third grade. Just for fun, when I have art block, I go back to that, like, little lined notebook, which makes me cringe that I drew this in a lined notebook. But, and I just sketch panels without the dialogue. Some of the dialogue is weird, because I wrote it in third grade. But, like, there's a lot of sentence fragments, so I just draw it as if it was an empty graphic novel spread. And I'm like, this is satisfying.
Oh, Lena draws comics, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
I do not draw comics. Oh. I don't draw at all.
Really?
Yeah. I guess I liked drawing as a kid, but I don't know.
Emily, remember when my brother came on the show and he's like, I want to be an architect. He said that, but, like, I think it's going to kind of be much harder because he's used to drawing people. But I think he's got it because he started building a tiny house.
Oh, yeah?
And also, I think it's sad how, like, for me, how you guys are all, like, I just made my own style after that because I realized that I don't like how I tried to do, like, the big eyes. And most of my stuff I just stole from one of my friends who's better at drawing. Yeah, but everyone's always like, oh my god, I love your art, even though it's unoriginal. I have one style that I don't like that's very, very original.
But you don't like it?
Yeah, I don't like it. That's why I stole my friend's art style.
Well, you still have plenty of time to develop your own style.
Yeah, you really just kind of have to come into your own. I've drawn things in one style and then drawn them in another style, and I am perfectly comfortable in both styles, but these two styles look like they were drawn by completely different people. And it doesn't bother me too much, but sometimes I do look at it and I'm just like, why'd I do that? Usually it's because I'm lazy and don't want to draw feet the right way, because feet are difficult and hands are difficult and I hate both of them. which is why I will then go back to drawing dragons, because sometimes I don't want to draw human hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, nice. Dragons. Yeah. It's satisfying to draw their wings. And I'm just like, yeah.
I know your brother, you said your brother wasn't that into that edition of Ruby.
Yeah.
But how are you feeling about it?
It's very good because this is like one of the last books and it's about Yang, who is Ruby's big sister. And it's very good. That's all I can say.
Okay. Are Ruby and Yang, you said?
Yeah.
Is a sister?
Each letter in the title is the initial of a name in their team. I watched the first and second season of the show, and then I lost interest at the third season. So it's Ruby, Weiss, Blake, and Yang.
Yeah.
All and they live in a world where color is very important and very held in esteem because they had a period of, if I remember right, like very low creativity, and then they pretty much had what is basically a renaissance, and colors became, and creativity became very important again. Yeah. So a lot of people started naming their children after colors and identifying them with colors. So Ruby is red, Weiss is white, Blake black, and Yang yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's that kind of thing. There's kind of a theme going on there.
Are they adult characters or are they teens?
They're, I think, 18. They're around 17 or 18, I think.
So they're like old teens or young adults.
I remember them being like 15, but Ruby, since she got moved up like 2 or 3 years.
Ruby's the youngest.
She's like 13 or 12 years old.
I thought they were much older. I thought they were high schoolers around like my age or 17 or so.
Oh.
At least in the show they are. They might be different in the book.
Maybe the books start younger. The
books might be a bit different.
No, they're like still in school.
Yeah.
So they're like school age, though.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they're like...
But I mean, it's a fantasy 15. Like battle school, so...
Yeah.
You know, you really have no idea.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure... like, Yang was like, oh, I'm 15, some part of the show, I don't remember. And anyways, like, every season comes out, like, every year, so, like, doesn't that mean that, like, they turn, like, a year older?
I don't know, the time in a TV show usually doesn't correspond to a time outside of it, because Gravity Falls went on for 3 years, and they
the
aged
Simpsons
1 year.
Never age.
Yeah, I thought they were older. Yang doesn't look 15 anyway to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my friend got me into the show, and I watched 2 seasons of it. And that's basically what I remember from their, like, world building, is that that's the reason everyone is named after colors and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But the comic is, or the manga is black and white, right?
For the most part.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
except for the fan art.
Except for the fan art portions
yeah,
in the back.
Yeah, but then,
it is
like,
in black and white.
It goes to fan art, and then, like, it goes to just one specific story, and it's called King of the Sisters, and, like, she's fighting a giant Grimm, which is, like, the monsters that they have to fight.
That's the
and
monsters
then
that they fight, and they go to, monster fighting school to fight the monsters.
Yeah.
It's that kind of story.
It's a good place to learn how to fight monsters.
And then the rest is just black and white.
So you get to imagine the very important colors.
Yeah, or you could just
watch
color
it in.
The show.
Yeah.
Make it a coloring book.
Yeah.
Don't use marker, though. It'll ink through.
Except Ruby's hair. I cannot color in hairs that are, like, really dark.
Yeah, I believe her hair is actually, like, a black or something in
this
show.
Like, I'm pretty sure it's, like, black to red. I know it's red at the tips.
But, yeah. It was a really good show for the seasons I watched it, and then it kind of lost its quality after season 3. But I do remember my favorite character. I don't think there is a purple character. Nope. My favorite character, I think her name was Neo, named after, like, Neapolitan ice cream.
Yeah,
because she had the white,
Neo.
Pink, and black color scheme going on.
Yeah.
That was my friend's favorite character, too. So I may have been a bit biased. She told me a lot about that, but it was all right.
I know how the creator got the idea for Neo. He was, like, getting Neapolitan ice cream, and he was like, oh, I wonder what another character should be, and then he just decided to name her Neo, gave her the colors, and boom.
I appreciate Neo because she's very, very short, and it's obvious in the animation that they make her look very, very short, and I'm also a very, very short person, so I appreciate when that happens. I'm like, yes.
Trust me.
I am also 5'2" and
Wait,
a quarter.
What? Trust me, you're probably taller than my sister, and she's 20.
Very small.
And I am 9 years old, and I'm taller than her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's tough for her.
Be a giant. Yes.
Gentle giant.
Yes.
Well, I don't have too much time to talk about a book, but I'll quickly talk about one. I'm not going to talk about Guts, because you're reading that, so I'll wait and talk about it with you when you're done.
Okay.
But I will talk about a book I just read this past week I think they're going by Kaysen Calendar now. So the book cover says Karen Calendar, but I'm pretty sure their name is now Kaysen Calendar. And the book is called Hurricane Child. It's got a beautiful cover. Ooh, ah.
Ooh.
Speaking of colors, there's lots of colors on this cover.
Ooh.
And it's about a 12-year-old named Caroline,
who's born during a hurricane on Water Island, which is near St. Thomas. And she feels like she has very bad luck for a number of reasons. She's bullied at school. She can see things that other people can't see. And her mother one time left home and traveled around and then never came back.
Oh, no.
And so she lives with her father. And so she's pretty lonely and she has no friends. And then one day a new student named Kalinda turns up. And Kalinda seems very special. And soon Caroline learns that Kalinda can also see things that other people can't see. And they form a little bond. And Kalinda agrees to help Caroline look for her mother. One of the things she sees is a woman in white. And so there's a mystery around who's the woman in white. And then the mystery of, like, what happened to her mother. And it's very nice book. I listened to it on audio, but I also had the physical book that I borrowed because it was so pretty. But no pictures.
Aw, that's sad.
That's okay. It's got the beautiful cover.
Yeah, it is.
It's
really
nice to
pretty.
Look at. And it's a middle grade novel, so.
So, basically middle school?
Yeah, instead of on that age.
Okay. Group. Middle school or upper elementary, yeah. I think could read it, too.
Can I borrow that book for a second?
You may borrow it for a second. Okay. Yeah, so it's a very nice book. It's a pretty quick read. It's not too long.
Quick reads are nice.
Yeah. And then I've read some other books so far this year, but maybe I'll talk about them another week.
Yeah.
Because we're out of time for today.
Oh, no.
But we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. And
yay.
We hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Happy reading.
Bye.
Happy reading.
Bye.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting Michael Kavanaugh, the Republican candidate for Ulster County District Attorney, has now conceded the election to his opponent, making Democrat David Clegg the county's new chief prosecutor. Kavanaugh said in a statement January 9th, and I quote, "I'm fully confident after the legally required hand recount of all ballots that all valid votes have been counted. I have instructed my legal team to withdraw all objections and to discontinue all legal proceedings," end quote. Clegg said he is, and I quote, "thrilled, excited, and relieved," end quote, that the race has been resolved. He expects to take the oath of office by Friday, January 9th. The opioid crisis will be one of Clegg's top priorities, working with the Opioid Task Force to set up diversion programs, assist in the opioid court, and providing people with public health issues rehabilitation versus criminalization. Kavanaugh served as retired DA Holly Conright's chief assistant. Clegg said he did not expect Kavanaugh to stay on in the office. And you can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. Sarah Tafton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Luxury camping developer Under Canvas has withdrawn its application to the Hunter Planning Board to build out a 56-acre site at Elka Park. Planning Board Chairwoman Sarah Basagic confirmed this week the national developer that specializes in gambling campgrounds pulled out of its proposal on December 11th. Basagic said, and I quote, "They are rolling out 9 other gambling sites this year. We did not make the cut," end quote. The proposal included 100 camping sites that would have operated from May to October. Some larger suite tents would have private bathrooms, while smaller tents would have access to communal restrooms and shower facilities. Other amenities included fire pits, barbecue areas, hiking trails, and a volleyball court. Legislator Larry Gardner, a Democrat who represents Hunter, said he had received a number of phone calls from residents expressing concerns about the project and its impact on the neighborhood. Those potential impacts of the project never came to fruition, Gardner said. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for Columbia Paper. The Kinderhook Village Board held a hearing December 18th to revive public comment on a local law to join a Community Choice Aggregation, or CCA, program. The law would expand the ability of residents to purchase electricity as a group, thereby saving money, among other benefits. A representative of Municipal Electric and Gas Alliance, or MEGA, was present and presented information on the program. MEGA is one of 3 companies licensed by New York to be a CCA administrator. The Village Board last fall signed an agreement with MEGA to explore the option of joining the CCA. A local law is necessary for the village to formally become a part of the group. Mayor Jim Dunnan said the village intends to proceed with the proposal to join the CCA, but the board did not vote on whether to adopt the local law during its December 18th meeting. The MEGA representative made a presentation at the Kinderhook Town Board meeting in December as well. CCAs are newly established by state law and regulated by the Public Service Commission. And you can read the full story in the Columbia Paper. Chris McKenna is reporting at The Fray. 16 and 17-year-old residents of New York can now pre-register to vote. A new state law took effect January 1st, which allows teens to pre-register and also requires school boards to adopt policies to encourage students to pre-register or register if they are 18. Teens who pre-register will automatically be registered as voters when they turn 18 without having to take any other action. New York lawmakers passed the bill a year ago, notwithstanding the opposition from many Republicans, particularly in the Assembly, to voter pre-registration. Senator David Carlucci, the Rockland County Democrat who carried the Senate version, said in a statement, and I quote, "When young people are engaged from an early age, they stay engaged. By eliminating barriers to register and increasing education, we are strengthening our democracy," end quote. Read the full story at The Fray. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. We're not breaking the freezing point today. Temperatures start at 15 and rise to 30 by 2 p.m. Wind chills in effect this morning. Bundle up the little buggers waiting for the buses. Skies will be blue. Bring those sunglasses. Overnight temperatures drop slightly to the mid-20s tomorrow. Temperatures will then climb to 44 by 1 p.m. Chance of rain will arrive late in the morning and get a little stronger in the afternoon. Tomorrow night and into the weekend, temperatures stay relatively high, ranging from the 40s to the 60s with plenty of rain. Looking way up, we see a thick aurora oval reaching down almost to the U.S. territories. One near-Earth object is expected today. It's a baby, though, at only 11 meters wide. Even if it hit us, it would not even make it to the ground. Solar wind speed is currently 393 kilometers per second at 2.9 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current number of sunspots is 0, with a new one emerging from the sun's northern hemisphere. This has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
The public News Service Daily Newscast for January the 9th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. As the homeless crisis in California grows more acute, our colleagues at NPR report Governor Gavin Newsom is planning to ask lawmakers for $1.4 billion to pay monthly rents, to build more shelters, and to provide treatment to those struggling finding long-term housing. NPR adds that Newsom signed an executive order directing agencies to locate public properties near state roads and highways that can provide short-term emergency shelters. The order additionally calls for using 100 camping trailers for temporary housing. New data is providing new hope in the fight against cancer. More on that story from Mary Sherman.
An annual report from the American Cancer Society reveals the cancer death rate fell 2.2% between 2016 and 2017, the largest ever single-year decline. Cancer mortality rates have decreased 29% since 1991, resulting in roughly 2.9 million fewer cancer deaths in the U.S. April Zubek with the American Cancer Society in Missouri says progress is encouraging and empowering.
I hope people continue to believe in the progress that we're making and find a way to be a part of it by encouraging people you love to get the screenings that they need and living healthy lifestyles. There's something that every single person can do.
The report cites reduced mortality for melanoma and lung cancer as a driver of the overall drop in cancer mortality rates. Zubek adds advances in cancer research and treatment options are also behind the decline, as well as advocacy efforts to improve access to health care.
Roughly 600,000 Americans are expected to die from cancer in 2020. That includes about 13,000 people in the state of Missouri. And as Congress nears approval of a new deal to replace the North American Free Trade Agreement, Eric Tegetthoff has been talking with farmers and ranchers who are disappointed at the lack of country of origin labeling in the bill.
Also known as COOL, supporters say a loophole allows foreign importers to put product of the U.S. on their beef, even if it is minimally processed in the country, hurting domestic cattle ranchers. Shelley Zisch, a cattle ranch owner in Pettibone, North Dakota, says under the current law, packers can do something as simple as adding salt or grinding the beef within the United States to qualify as a U.S. product.
It's something we've been fighting for, the product of the U.S. label, and now they're kind of making a mockery of it because they can put whatever they want in it. And we believe that product of the U.S. should be only products that are born, raised, and harvested in the United States.
Opponents of such labeling say it's too costly for packers. The United States-Mexico-Canada agreement is expected to pass Congress as early as this week.
While UMSCA may have been the best vehicle for passing COOL, advocates say the issue is too important to just give up the fight. This is PNS. One of the first bills introduced in the West Virginia 2020 legislative session, which opened yesterday, is by Republican House Speaker Roger Hanshaw, to create a state investment fund to kickstart new businesses. Diane Bernard reports there's more to the story.
But environmental groups in the state oppose the bill because the fund's first project would be a giant underground natural gas storage plant called the Appalachian Storage Hub, according to Jim Coatson with the West Virginia Sierra Club. He says the hub would store and transport natural gas liquids produced from fracking, such as ethane, which is used in making plastics.
This would dramatically expand the use of fossil fuels and in particular natural gas drilling in West Virginia, and we need to be reducing our dependence on fossil fuels, not increasing it.
The Appalachian Storage Hub has support from the state's congressional delegations and Governor Jim Justice, who says it will bring much-needed jobs to the depressed Ohio Valley region and could turn West Virginia into a national economic center for the natural gas and plastics industries.
A 2019 study by Harvard University School of Public Health showed that more people in the nation live much closer to underground natural gas storage wells than was previously thought, and that accidents at those facilities have caused fatalities, explosions, and exposures to noxious odors. Finally, our Mark Mullen reports many pro sports teams are taking a more analytical approach in how they manage their organizations.
The same thing is happening in the world of government, including at the Minnesota Capitol. In 2015, state government leaders signed up for the Results First initiative, which is spearheaded by Pew Charitable Trusts and the MacArthur Foundation. The program helps state and local policymakers use a deeper cost-benefit analysis when deciding how to spend a taxpayer dollars. Program Director Sarah Dubay says among all the states that have signed up so far, Minnesota has been among the most active with this approach.
They have taken stock of the programs that they're that the state is offering across a variety of social policy areas, assessed the extent of research that's available on the effectiveness of those programs, how much those programs are costing the state.
Minnesota officials say they leaned more on using these evidence-based proposals in the latest budget cycle. Dubay says Minnesota's approach is more effective because both major political parties have backed this style of policymaking, taking the partisanship out of it. So far, 27 states and 10 county governments in the U.S. have taken part in the initiative.
Minnesota's Management and Budget Office says they hope to use this approach with state agencies and local partners in the future. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and we are listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
The fact that we have this great military and equipment, however, does not mean we have to use it. We do not want to use it. American strength, both military and economic, is the best deterrent.
Yesterday at the White House, President Donald Trump addressed the Iranian missile strike on two Iraqi bases housing U.S. troops, which the U.S. knew about in advance due to early warning systems.
Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world. No American or Iraqi lives were lost.
In fact, the U.S. stood down, deciding not to retaliate again militarily to Iran's reprisal for the killing of top military commander Qasem Soleimani, often called Iran's second most important leader.
To the people and leaders of Iran, we want you to have a future and a great future, one that you deserve.
Despite sounding conciliatory, Trump promised to make economic sanctions even more severe. The timing of Trump's decision, while facing an impeachment trial in the Senate, has been questioned, as concrete evidence of imminent attacks has not been forthcoming. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren echoed many presidential contenders.
My heart and my prayers are with our military and with their families in Iraq and all around the world. But this is a reminder why we need to de-escalate tension in the Middle East.
Trump's Republican primary challengers aren't satisfied either. Former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh tweeted, quote, "I'm reminded of the same place we've always been in with him. We can't believe anything this president says." And here's former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld at a coffee shop in Nevada, Iowa.
We're sort of on the brink of a very ugly confrontation with Iran, with military overtones. And I think a lot of this happens because Mr. Trump, he's an isolationist. He makes no bones about it. That's essentially what Make America Great Again, America First means.
Weld outlined part of his own vision for U.S. foreign policy.
Arthur Vandenberg from Michigan was chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. He famously said politics stops at the water's edge, which it did. People weren't trying to score political points on foreign policy and made the U.S. stronger.
A small group showed up to talk to Weld, reflecting a mixture of political views Weld hopes to represent. The former Republican governor of a traditionally blue state, Weld says there's a disconnect between the Republican Party standing firmly behind President Trump and other conservative-leaning independents he meets on the campaign trail.
When I'm out there marching in the parades, which nobody else is doing, by the way, people run into the street and clap me on the back, hug my arm, and say, "Can you get him out of there?" The country really is exhausted.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bulkey. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
Welcome to the Jazz Disturbance. A show featuring jazz and other improvisational music from local, regional, worldwide, and world-class artists, connecting listeners with the people and places presenting in the area. The Jazz Disturbance airs on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from our Hudson studio from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Jazz Disturbance, 90.7 degrees,